You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Morning, family. Y'all looking good. So don't quit. We have had the opportunity the last two Sundays to talk about some things that get us in a mess in our faith, and we walk away from it. Sadly, you know, you and I will sit here today and we'll look around, and it's been my experience in 21 years of working at CrossBrand that there's a lot of folks that are not here now. For whatever reason, they've walked away. And to some, it's interchangeable. I just want to say that when I mention walking away, I'm not just necessarily talking about walking away from church. There's some people that have walked away from church and they've not left the faith necessarily, but I will tell you that's a pretty good indicator that you're about to. Usually the first thing to go is your faith community, and then you'll go away and what in popular culture we call it deconstruct. Your great-grandparents called it backsliding. The New Testament called it carnal or worldly. And in today's climate, we call it deconstructing, but walking away from your faith. And I don't want that to happen to anybody. I want you to stay with it. But we've talked about some reasons why that people walk away from their faith. And so I'm just going to remind you today, as I'm going to try to wrap up, there's really eight things you need to consider on how to stay in the fight and how not to give up. It is a very difficult thing to try and live out your faith. If anybody says it's easy, they don't really know why. Barna Group, back in 2017, one in four Americans are done with church. So that's half of all Americans, 48%, are done with God. This is called post-Christian, and it's where we're at. And interesting, that same survey, 70% of all young people who grow up in church leave the church by the time they're in their 20s. And so I'm just here to help you not do that. There's eight things. Review. You ready? Number one is make sure you're saved. According to the latest stats, 28% of everybody that's in church on Sunday morning don't even know the Lord. 28%. So if we look at that in CrossBrand numbers, and I pray it's not this at all, but so that's 280 of you guys on a typical Sunday, 280 of us don't know the Lord. And there's lots of reasons. We even talked about that the other night. I had a horrible lesson I had to teach on Wednesday night. We're doing a book called Things That Go Bump in the Church. It's controversial issues. It's issues nobody wants to talk about. You know, one of them is hell. We don't wake up every morning wanting to talk about hell. But the reality is, hell is a reality. And listen, you 280 folks, if you're out there, if you're listening to me on our online audience, just make sure you're saved. Make sure you know the Lord. There's a lot of people that thought they did, and they quit what they thought was faith, but they never actually had it. Number two, what'd we say? We said, always confess. You don't have to answer it out loud, but have you confessed your sins today? And you're going, well, I hadn't done anything wrong. You are delirious. Or just ask your spouse. They'll line you out on that real quick. Always confess. It's God's spiritual filter for your life. Number three, pray often and pray about everything. I hope you pray today. Number four, this is where we stopped last week. Read and study scripture continually. God gave you his spirit, and because he is your Holy Spirit, he's a new roommate, he's got to be fed, got to eat something, and that's scripture. Number five, you ready? This is important. Now, I didn't see the importance of this one a few years ago, but always lean on your Jesus community. I always tell people, you know, Christians are as strong as the people they surround themselves with. And oftentimes when you look up and you don't have anybody to kick, cuss, and cry to or with, somebody that you can be transparent with, connect with other believers. Now, I'm not telling you to form your little holy huddles and to keep everybody that doesn't believe just like you away. That's not at all what I'm saying. We can't do that. Jesus was a friend of sinners. You know who you are listening to me online. I was stopped to get some fuel the other day where we get fuel. He goes, what about them four people I'm supposed to have in my life? That was a sermon I preached a month ago. I said, well, what about that? He said, you know I'm kind of lopsided. I got mostly sinners in my life. I said, well, that's okay. That's okay. There's two places you can pick up community. Number one, in this church. And do y'all know why I'm not for you sitting? You'll never hear another pastor say this, but do you know why I like for you to sit in the same place every single Sunday? So that you'll have this little group of people. You'll start talking. Next thing you know is when one of them is gone, you go, hey, where is he today? Bobby, has anybody complimented your legs today? Look at those sexy legs. See there? See there? You keep sitting in the same place, you get these relationships, right? I've seen it happen a million times. If Bobby is not there, right there, sexy legs or not, you're going to notice, ain't you, Michael? You're going to notice. You're going to notice, ain't you, Paul? We're going to notice. I know there's lots of ways to develop community, but listen to this one. This is what we're doing right now. Hebrews chapter 10. Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Uh-oh. Do you see that word? Isn't that relevant? It takes 21 days to develop a good or a bad habit. Skip church three Sundays in a row, it's going to be real hard to come back. But keep encouraging one another. Sorry, Marcia. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Is there anyone in this room that don't believe the day? Jesus is coming back pretty quick. He's coming. All the signs are there. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, you got to get together, even as you see the day approaching. I am blown away. There's some research that was done back in 21. 85% of young people between 12 and 25 don't see their church as a place they can turn to in times of trouble. Wow. If you can't turn to your church, who do you turn to? In the real world, though, you'll have your life groups, your small groups. If there's any way we can facilitate that, we do. Now, we tried to do life groups a few years ago. The interesting thing about life groups is I had the bright idea, I'm going to make y'all be friends with one another. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We have an interesting thing going down the hill at right after we get out of here, young adult gathering. We didn't know what to call it, which drives me crazy, by the way, because I got to name everything, all right? We had 45 young adults there last week down the hill. You see them sitting around, talking, connecting, and next thing you know, they're doing life together. But it's got to happen organically. You can't force anybody's friend on somebody else. At CrossBrand, you know where we see this happen the most? It's through volunteering on teams. It's the beatenest thing ever. We got teams that some of you don't even probably know exist, but they're like little churches. Got the, bless you. Who was that? Clay, that was awesome. Old ZZ Top back there has got allergies. That'd be the bass player. We got teams that are, they're like a little church. They do ministry together, they do life together. So if you want to kind of organically connect to somebody at CrossBrand, just volunteer. Tim Smith did some research years ago. Peggy, did you remember how much coffee he said that we, how many cups of coffee we serve in a year? It's more than McDonald's. Y'all drink a lot of coffee. But what, the reason he said that is because you sign up to serve coffee, next thing you know, you're visiting, and there's friendship and there's community. And remember, I don't want to belabor this, but always remember, guys, there's three things that I need somebody to do in my life, right? There's three things. Number one, I got to have a cheerleader, and so do you. Number two, we got to have somebody to instruct us a little bit. Just, hey, that's where you get to share your stories. And then finally, accountability. Now, men don't like this, but you know you've got that one friend that goes, I mean, you fall down, break your arm, and he's so encouraging. He says, man, you're stupid. You know, men, that's what we say. Well, actually, we should say something else, but I can't because, you know. And we got to have that person. Who is your person? Whose person are you? CIA. Cheerleaders, instructors, accountability. Great scripture. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Who is that? Number six. You ready for this one? Guys, you know you're going to quit if you're not intentional about your Christianity. You ain't got to do nothing. And if you don't, you're not going to survive this faith deal. I don't want me to be ugly. Well, Paul say, work on, work out, work through your salvation with fear and trembling. Push, push. I got a couple, two or three more. And then whatever time it is, you got it. Sandy. Dang Aggies. I saw I sure hope this wasn't one of y'all. Every once in a while when I tell them what is outside, I go, oh, there's 1,000 people here. That could have been them. So if you were the one in a little bitty tiny truck pulling a two-wheel trailer, not a very big trailer, full of sod, grass. At what point did you notice there were no tires on that trailer? I'm going, how does this happen? Listen, you got to use equipment for what equipment was designed for. So we bought a new skid steer. Dear Lord Jesus. Bobby, it's my girlfriend. That's what we named it. I spend a lot of time with my skid steer. You can do unbelievable things with a skid steer. Except, you can't push big trees. Right, David? Oh, look at that. Man stuff. Challenge accepted. When I get so much more done with that skid steer than I did my John Deere tractor. My John Deere tractor stayed in the shop. Me trying to do the same stuff I was doing. All right, let me tell you what that has to do with you. Do you know what you're designed to do? Serve. If you are not helping others, you are not anywhere close to the goal that Christ has for you in your salvation. Nowhere close. Let me show you this. John 15:16. You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. Do something. Serve others. Then you got Ephesians 2. Look at this one. Everybody's so excited about being saved by grace. Read the last part. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You got to serve somewhere. Now, so you can volunteer to be on a team here at CrossBrand. You can do what you need to do in your communities and in your clubs back home, right? But just understand this. Let me give you just three things to think about. How can you serve others? Number one, your story. So we have reactivated the podcast because Jesus made me. You know, podcasts, you got to stay on weekly, right? I listen to podcasts all the time, but most of my guys, they're making a living at it. At CrossBrand, we have so much more fruit in what we call the bottom line. It's a 2 to 3 minute video that's straight evangelism, just gospel. But The withstood is 30 minutes to an hour of people's stories. Y'all ain't gonna believe this. Guess whose story comes out? When does it come out? Monday? We don't know. Okay. It comes out this week. Guess whose story you get to hear? Danny Rayford. That guy's got a heck of a story. I don't know where. Is Danny even here today or did I run him off? He told me, he said, "Preacher, I'm scared. What do I call you?" He said, "I've never called you Mike in your life." I said, "Danny, you can call me Preacher. You're making up stuff to worry about right now before this podcast." Okay. Guys, your stories, because you just think about it, relationally, financially, physically, some of y'all been through it. And so one of the ways you serve people is you share your story. Number two, not only your story, but your time. Let's go visit somebody. Just volunteer your time. And then also, last thing, you ready, is your resources, your skills. Now, there are spiritual gifts and there are natural gifts. There's things that you can do with your hands. There's things you can do with your voices. Guys, you got to serve. You got to serve. And you can serve here or you can serve your community. All right, you ready? Two more. You're going to have to do this. Don't quit. Make forgiveness a daily routine. This is a standalone message. Paul gave me a book, or had me read a book a few years ago, Forgiving Forward. I finally learned to forgive Paul. He's the only elder here that can't remember the door code. And it was a great book. Now, Nessie, you gonna write this down? This is the book that I talked about last week. This is the book that several of you asked me about, and when I got outside, it just left my brain. I couldn't remember it. Ready? It's by Carl Payne. It's called Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, and Deliverance. Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, and Deliverance. I have not read the book. I can't bet the whole thing, but I can bet what I heard, and I mentioned it last week. You know, the interesting thing about non-forgiveness, Paul and I believe the same thing, is that you are inviting demonic activity into your life. We still believe that way, Paul? Look, you realize none of us in this room were created to have any capacity to deal with guilt. There was no sin when our bodies and our minds were originally created in Genesis. And so when we sin, oh my goodness. You know, that's why we react with shame and physical problems, et cetera, et cetera. Well, add two people to that weight. I can barely carry my own sin. Why am I trying to carry yours? And why am I toting around this huge, huge weight of unforgiveness? Like I say, it is a whole standalone message. But let me ask you this. The person that has wronged you, did they do worse to you than you have to Jesus? Did they nail you on a cross? Did they flog you, strip you of your clothes, parade you around in front of a mob that wanted to see you executed? Guys, listen. I've been done wrong a lot, but I've done God wrong myself a lot. And if Jesus has forgiven me, I am obligated to forgive them. Now, that's a hard thing. That's why I tell a lot of folks, for many of you, forgiving somebody comes like that. It's just easy for you. But not if you were raised by the Hatfields and McCoys like I was. Remember when? You remember that guy? Man. Ephesians 4. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. This last one, it ain't gonna get no better. If you're gonna survive, you can't quit when life gets rough. You're gonna have to endure suffering. I wish there was an easier way for me to say some of these things during this little talk. Don't resist suffering. I am shocked at my own reaction sometimes to hard things. You've probably heard me say this before, but man, we live on a hill. And actually our ranch is kindly on one of the higher elevations in Wood County. But on a windy day, I look like a skit from the Three Stooges out there chasing empty mineral sacks. You put them on the back of your gator and you're driving this way and you didn't brace them down and you got all these empty mineral sacks and they are blowing past your head. One of them nearly chopped your ear off. And I get off of the gator to go chase that one and another one slashed me in the face. And so I'm chasing them and getting them all together, and I'm going, this is the truth. Why does this have to happen to me? A grown man said that to himself. And I thought, because it's supposed to happen. And if you're griping about this little feed sack deal, what are you going to do when somebody has a cancer scare? What are you going to do when some hater off of Facebook contacts you? Calls you a something, punging head or something. Very hurtful. You are going to get it. You ready? But remember this. Somewhere in the world, in the span of time that I've been up here talking, maybe six, four Christians have died for their faith. Four Christians have been martyred, put to death for their faith. Now, Suffering comes in different levels. I understand that. But guys, we got to put it all in perspective. And let me tell you what that perspective is. It is the fact that in 2 Timothy 3:12, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. James chapter 1, verse 2, considered it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, why? And he goes on to tell you, because the testing of your faith gonna make you stronger. It's gonna take sacrifice. We're gonna suffer in our private life, in our personal situation, in jobs and schools. But you know, I got a scar right there. Some of you were here when it happened. I was trying to be boy wonder because I am very athletic and I can move like a cat. My granddaughter was down there, I guess one or two of the kids. Anyhow, of all things, the wormiest, sorriest longhorn cow kicked the gate. She had a little man syndrome. But she kicked that gate popped me right there, knocked me out. I stood up and I go, well, we gotta still load the cattle. So I did the best thing I knew how to do at the moment because I have medical training. I put my hat back on. And I get to the sale barn and there is the famous Tommy Williams, TW. And I sit beside him. Well, I took my hat off just for a second. Blood just poured into my lap. And TW didn't even act like he looked up there and he goes, preacher, you know you got something going on with your head. I said, yes, sir, I had to get these cattle over here. I'll have my daughter-in-law glue it back together here in a minute. He looked at me and says, you know what? If you go on a ranch, you're gonna hurt. It comes with it. And I thought, that is so true. Ranching, I got a half a thumb, I got... Somebody looked at my legs the other day. They look like they have been at a prisoner of war encampment or something, and they look like they beat me. I had my doctor look at a little place on my leg, and he says, which one? You're going to ranch, you're going to get hurt. If you're going to do the faith thing, you're going to suffer. Now, the good news is, Jesus said in John 16, you know, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But then he said, you know, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings of hope. I ask, first and foremost, if there's somebody here that's struggling to stay in the faith, that you'll empower them today. Let us pray with them. Empower them. Secondly, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, I pray, Father, right now you'll make it very clear to them. You'll wake them up, and I pray very simply that they'll say, Jesus, I am a mess. Please forgive me and please change me. Father, you are a good daddy. And we just thank you that you have shown grace to us. In Christ's name, amen.
Hey y'all, Jewel Waltrip here from the Jewel of All Trades Company, located in Statesville, North Carolina. We specialize in 100% soy candles and immune-supporting elderberry syrup, as well as other sustainable farming practices. Find us on Facebook at Jewel of All Trades or give us a call at 704-437-2537. Thanks, and God bless.